everything begins with relationship. Amen? Everything. It's saying. All right. And in that, we find Christ. Obviously, we have relationships. There we go. Obviously, we have relationships. All right, well, it's only going to be this big today, I guess. All right. Obviously, we're born into this world and we need relationships because we have a relationship maybe with your mom, your dad, some maybe different dynamics. But we need relationship. We come to Christ because there's a sense that He actually wants us. A relationship. So things begin with relationship. But over the years, a lot of, as I said earlier, a lot of people said, well, it's relationship, not religion. And we understand what that's being said, and I've even said that, as I said. But in the context, you need to breathe that out more, because if you continue on that shallow thinking to some degree, you're excluding one of the biggest things that God has designed to some degree. So you can't. So let's talk about relationship first. The word relationship in Latin is nascitio, which means, so this is relationship in the Latin, means necessity. We know what necessity means. It means necessary. Revelation, right? It also means intimacy and a need. So the Latin is saying relationship is necessito, which defines to a necessity, intimacy, a need. To relate beyond yourself. How's your relationship with yourself? This is outside of yourself. It's the person sitting to the left, to the right of you right now. In Greek, the same word is schizes. So the Greek is schizes, which means regard, connection, and reference. Regard, connection, and reference. Everything, this is what I was saying earlier, everything starts with a relationship, human to human, but even before that we know, God to man, man and women. Relating, this is so important, relating is a built-in need for a fulfilled life. I know nobody says no, because hermits live somewhere up in a cave somewhere, so you're here, you're a people, so I'm kind of preaching to the choir. But it's a built-in need to fulfill your life. However, as Christians, we should view all relationships through Christ Jesus. If you got to think back in Genesis, at the beginning of Genesis, God created man in His own image. Why? Because God didn't know what He looked like? No, because He wanted to relate to something. And it was in you and I, and it still is. But we need to see Jesus, when we become Christians, for Christians, as we continue our journey called life, that relationship should grow in a healthy way, both with Jesus, and with others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. So some of us find Jesus, but still can't relate healthily to others around them. It doesn't seem... That's probably not fulfilling your life if you're not doing that. Jesus, when we become a Christian, you should see everyone around you through His lens. And that provides a wholeness in your relationships. Some of us see our family and then Jesus over here and wonder why the relationships are not healthy. If we're becoming Christ followers, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, how did Jesus view people? Pastor, you're talking about my mother-in-law too? Yeah, how did he see people? How did he see your co-workers? That might be a boss right there. Jesus plus people through His lens equals wholeness in your relationship. Now, a little secret. We're not all perfect. That's why you see through Jesus' lens. Because He forgave you. He's given you mercy a few times over. Well, maybe what you see is you have to give mercy in that to them and a wholeness in relationship. This is critical because if I can't treat my neighbor the way Jesus wants to be treated, then you're living a self-absorbed Christian lifestyle that really doesn't exist. All right, religion. So that's relationship. We got that, right? We all need to be in relationship to people. Whether we like it or not, it's just there. And we need Jesus' lenses to see that. Let's talk about religion. Let's talk about some root words. The Latin word for religion is religare. Yes. And there's also another. This is the root. The word before it is religios, R-E-L-I-G-O-S. So this is religare. Religare, if you boil it down, what does it mean? Again, the Latin word for religion is a binding. Not in a slave type of setup, but a binding of unity of something together. So wait a minute. I might need to be bound to something in a healthy way. The Greek word for religion is tieski. Tieski is a ceremonial, piety, worship, rituals. Tieski. So wait a minute. These things are starting to sound like something I may need. Here we go. Religion should be more of a living organism than an organization. See, America has been, and we're not perfect, but America has built great religious organizations. Some have cried on TV for money about them. Hang on, I'm wearing Jesus. Don't shoot me yet. But these organizations, as we see, if so, if you can have a religion that is more organism, if so, it provides a healthy space for learning, a.k.a. doctrine, theology, and practices, rituals, communion, things like that, towards, in baptism, what we're going to do today, towards something greater than ourselves. We're not here for a social club. We need one another. But we're here because of something greater than ourselves. It's where a binding, back to the word binding in that root word, in obedience and covenantal loyalty, it breathes and cares under a divine will. That's like something I should be a part of, it looks like. An organism is a living thing. We are living and breathing right now. As you're listening to me meander on and on, you're listening. You're living and breathing. You're not just an organization. Yes, FCC is a church, and we'll get into that soon. But it's the organization is not greater than the organism that's in it. We're a binding. Casual Christianity will put you in a fork in a road very soon. And I love you. Continue to come if you just want to come and go. And before the song's done, you're out the door. That's fine. God, you know, the neat thing about God is He always meets us where we're at. Isn't that awesome? And He always loves us. But at some point, He wants to grow you in Himself in you, you know, in doing this. We're abiding in obedience and covenantal loyalty and breathes and cares under a divine will. Not Pastor Doodad's will, a divine will. Right? Religion. Again, we're talking about religion. Please, I'm not attacking an organized religion right now. It's, you're talking about all this and all that. Because once you start looking at one, it does open up a lot of others. Like there's some charismatic, spirit-filled, organized religions, just as much as there are other ours that we can go into. Authentic religion, that's what Jesus wants and desires. Authentic religion is a loving community. I thought I'd at least get an amen out of that. Wow. I thought I was setting you up. I am, watch. Organized religion can be a controlling community. You ever heard of church hurt? Again, it takes two to dance sometimes when the song's playing, but majority of church hurt is usually sometimes organizational religion has flexed something over a control of something without forgetting about what the stripes of Jesus did in someone's life where they need grace and peace and restoration. And we've looked at a textbook, page 3, paragraph 2, not even reading the Bible, because that's a whole other resource, right? And what we're supposed to do when people fall or do different things, or people leave the church. We want to be a loving community. What's our motto? A church that love is building, right? But organized religion can control more than anything else. And we'll get more into that. We are a part of something. Faith Christian Center, you are part of something. Authentic religion helps us bind us to that something. We need it. It's like a book. You need margins. You need to be brought, you need bounding to a book to be together on things. Organized religion, I'm stepping on a few toes. Organized religion can lead to man's idea of something that seems right. Seems right at first. Eventually, it'll try to rule through legalism and fear. Where undivine power, that's not good power, undivine power and control in stereo push us away from authentic religion. Organized religion's primary benefit is to the organization, not to the people it should serve. And we're not perfect, but we're growing in what Jesus' church is. If not living in authentic religion and relationship, you will be subject unawarely to. What does unawarely to mean? I'm not aware, but I'm just doing it. But this can happen. Ready? Here we go. Lullaby activities. Why do we do this thing in church? I don't know. We've always done it. Lullaby and good night. I mean, that's what Satan's doing to the world right now. Fall asleep, little world. Boom. Lack of doctrine. Lack of knowing him. Again, this is if we're in an organized religion that is trying to control. Not every organized religion is trying to control. Don't send me a whole bunch of emails Monday. But the majority of what I'm talking about, you'll see some of these symptoms. Lack of the force of love. Lack of discernment. We're just doing it because he did it. Lack of, and this is the bottom line, lack of surrender to Jesus alone. Not to a pastor, not to a brand, not to a personality on YouTube, but to Jesus alone. Surrendering to Jesus alone. Because that keeps all this out of your life if you're actually focusing on him. Religion from the original context is needed for a Christ follower, a disciple of Christ. Be a part of a religion that is glue or binding for the glory of God. It's so important. We have a lot of, you know, in these days where people were saying it's relationship, not religion. Most of those people try and live a, and I think I talked about it in a second, a silo Christian life. And I put parentheses on Christian because Jesus was really big about gatherings and things like that. You can't really live a solo Christian life. It's just me and Jesus. We'll get into that more. Binding and learning and practices. So this is church, what it's good in religion, authentic religion. God bless you. Binding and leading to practice, but also binding, well, it goes another dimension, with one another. Ugh, I'm an introvert. It's God's desire. Not living an individual, solo, Christian life. Yeah, but Pastor, I've heard this, and again, I'm growing too, but I'm a little further along, I hope. Pastor Chris, my church is YouTube every Sunday morning. And those tuning online, that's great. I appreciate you doing it. But then to go further, the person was saying, yeah, I've got this preacher, I got doodad preacher here, I got four of them going on a Sunday, and I am refreshed. That'll last till the end of Sunday. Because you're not in a community of anything. And you get to churn. You see, you can't do this to me. I can't give you the remote. You get to turn the channel if it challenges you and you don't like them or her. We'll put her in there. There's all of them. I mean, but there's no solo Christian life. There isn't. As the early church began, it was grounded on the life-giving truth of the gospel of the kingdom. We've talked more about that. The gospel of the kingdom is from the manger of Jesus' birth to his death and resurrection, to his ascension. A lot of churches stop right there. Glory, hallelujah, we've been redeemed. Yes, you have, but there's still another story being told that we can't forget about. Him, a divine human, the God in human flesh, just went up into heaven and is praying for you and I right now, as we said earlier. But he's not hanging out there forever. He's coming back. He's coming back. The gospel of the kingdom is the entire gospel of that kingdom, where Christ, not a great personality, where Christ is the center of all they do. Knowing a loving God, these are two parts that are important, knowing a loving God would reach us to reconcile us and commission us. I'll move along. In the book of Acts, gatherings, the book of Acts is really when the church began developing, taking form after Pentecost and the upper room and everything going on there, and Jesus' instructions to go out after you've waited, and they're going out to share this gospel of the kingdom, and it's forming churches as they're doing that. In the book of Acts, gatherings would become the church, and the church would grow. The Pharisees didn't like this. The organized religions at the day did not like this. Only authentic religion would begin to influence, this is the key, influence a life, and that life began to influence others around them. What has Jesus done for you? More than this hour and a half time we spend, I hope. This is great. But as Ed was praying too, that same spirit is with you tomorrow and the next days above. And it could probably influence people around you if you know your identity in Christ. The early church was a religious organism. This is what it breaks down. Religion, it all starts with relationship. But it has to go into benefiting from a religious, authentic religion of something. And then that produces church. Does that make sense? You start as a relationship. But if you just do relationship, you're probably not going to, your church will be you, yourself, and I on YouTube maybe. It won't add up. Or if you just do this, you'll be a monk. No, I'm sorry. You'll be somewhere where you're probably not with people, but you'll be doing practices that are slowly becoming lullabies in your life. You need all three. The trajectory is this way. Let's go in a little bit more. Jesus is the head of the church. We knew that, but do we believe that? Do we believe that on a sunny day when the birds are chirping and I have to drive in here on a Sunday morning and I'm like, it is a nice day out. Church is important because when we come here, we're meeting with Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church, not a personality. We're under shepherds as pastors, but Jesus, if he's not the head of the church, you're going to have organized religion, because what you build, you have to sustain on your own. So you start putting things together and say, well, we got to do this, and people are leaving and coming, and it's like, but here's the key. We need to know Jesus is returning for his bride. The church is his bride, not just scattered individuals. That's the scripture. It's not my idea. So what are you a part of? He's coming for a bride. Are we ready? 1 Corinthians. Oh my gosh, about time you get to scripture, Pastor. 1 Corinthians 12:27. All of you together are Christ's body. Yes. Together. And each of you is a part of it. We go in deeper, a lot of that with the body. Everybody has different limbs in the body. But it's all under Jesus leading his church. Leading his church. Here's my beautiful rendering of the cross. You can laugh because it's not schematically. It's not. So, relationship, religion, but you need his church in the middle of that. You do. It's both. It's relationship and religion. It should guide you into church. Any church that believes the Word of God is the final authority and believes the Holy Spirit can actually guide my day daily. Is a church you want to be into? Are we perfect? No, there is no perfect church. But we let the person who is perfect be in charge. And I understand there's been church hurt, you know, back to what I said earlier. That's true, whether it's by a leadership and pastors, they all fall and things like that. They're you know, different things happen. And so you get generations coming up saying, I don't want anything to do with that. Or maybe the generations we're seeing statistics may go more to a liturgical church because it just seems more, gosh darn, holy. And I get that too. I understand that. But if you've got to be careful making sure wherever you're going, Jesus is the head of the church. And there's life there. And there's life there. Amen? So is it relationship or religion? Quiz. It's both, right? If we're talking about authentic religion, what started the early church, it's both. Because we need that. We need the communion. We need baptism, what we're doing. We need to know doctrine and theology. Otherwise, we'll be going on, everybody's going in different lanes. And then we're just feeding into the enemy, making our own truth up. Sounds like the world. So we need authentic religion. We need it. But we need to be together too. Life happens, I understand. We have a lot going on here. You got the announcements. Newsflash, you won't be able to make everything we do here because you have a life to live. Can I say that? I'm probably counterproductive right now, but and pushing events. But that's okay. We do enough of them that at some point you probably can make one of them at least. And that's being a part of a church. See, it's either you walk into a church, and this is really under the discipleship thing, but you walk in the church and you become a visitor, right? We know that. You're visiting. Want to see if I feel welcomed here. And that's perfectly correct. But then once you become a visitor, if you feel that you can be here, you begin to attend, right? And that might be whatever, how many Sundays a month. And then at that point, I need to be a part of something. That's what we're talking about, a part of something, a religious organism that is Faith Christian Center. It's not my pitch, it's just reality of how I'm pitching this out now, but that's religion and relationship. And His church is in the middle of that. His church is in the middle of that. Let's talk about water baptism, can we? Because we're doing something cool today. Water baptism. Let's go through why we do it. Water baptism is a religious practice. And grounded in the relationship you have with Christ and, yes, those around you. So that's what we're going to celebrate. Let's breathe out some symbols of baptism. Water baptism symbolizes the blood of Christ washes away our sins. That should be everything right there. He washes away your sins through the symbol of baptism. I don't know about you, but I had some sin. Still tries to creep up every now and then, but thank you for the Holy Spirit to push things down. Symbolize the blood of Christ washing away our sins. Here's some scripture. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, the key in, you were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. But you are in yourself and all the great things you've done. No. It has nothing to do with what you've done. I mean, that's the forgiveness we need, but it has to do with by now in Christ Jesus, that I have committed and surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. You were far away, but have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. Not by my good intelligence and my great ideas, by the blood of Jesus. Some more scripture, Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ. Oh, wait, that's the same thing. I'm redundant here. Water baptism symbolizes also our union with Christ. The death, the resurrection, things we know. But as we begin to know this more and more, it begins to help define you. Water baptism symbolizes our union with Christ's death and resurrection. Scripture for that, Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with Him. With Him, Jesus, by baptism into death. Some of you guys still need to die. in order that Jesus as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so that we may walk. Some of you wake up in the morning, even Monday mornings, you know you have newness of life. Yes. Come on, newness of life. Yes. Because you were dead with Christ and raised up. Yes. Water baptism symbolizes our new life and identity in Christ. 2 Corinthians, Paul's writing to this church to remind them of a few things. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, his personality is 10 times better. No, he's a new creation. New creation. The old has passed away. Rearview mirror, side view mirror, looking ahead. And see, the new has come. Talking about new again. Galatians, Paul writing to the church of Galatia. For those who were baptized in Christ have been clothed with Christ. I didn't wear this shirt because of that scripture, but man, I am clothed. I just think of that now. That was not planned out. Baptized in Christ. We've been clothed with Christ. Colossians. Being in the church in Colossians, Paul writes, he's reminding the church, if it's an intentional ritual that you're after, again, religious, you've already been through it by submitting to baptism. Going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was a resurrection. God raising you from the dead as he did with Christ. It goes on. When you were stuck in your old sin, dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God did, brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins are forgiven. The slate wiped clean. Some of you are dealing with condemnation when you walked into this room. In the name of Jesus, your sins have been forgiven. You have the mind of Christ. Holy Spirit, invade, hijack anyone who feels that they're condemned. Condemnation that's bringing them down. Yeah, but. Jesus wrote the yeah, but, and he already knows what's going on. He loves you where you are right now, and he will pick you up and move you along. He loves you so very much. Slate wiped clean. The old arrest warrant canceled. Come on. And nailed to the Christ cross. Going down in old self and coming up new in Christ. This is your public declaration. Pastor, I went up to the stage and made a prayer facing this way, and that's great. But a lot of scripture reads to this is your public declaration. What we're about to do, it's very important. Declaring you are as a follower of Jesus Christ. I heard a wonderful analogy once. The baptism is like putting a wedding band ring on your finger as a Christ follower, symbolizing who I belong to. That's water baptism. It's so important. If you have not been water baptized and you've surrendered your life to Christ and you didn't plan on getting baptized today, I want to pressurize you. You can still do it today. We got towels. Doesn't matter what you're wearing. This is eternal life. We're talking about Jesus, what he's done for you. If you didn't sign up, just show up in a few minutes. That's all. He loves you so very much. He loves you so very much. Baptism. I know I threw a lot out today in a short period of time. I think you can handle it, right? So, we are going to start into our celebration mode, all right, of baptism. I think we have three or four people who have committed to doing this, and if you hadn't but you want to do that, please come up as well. But can we call them up to the right side of the stage? If you guys would come up that are coming to the water baptism, come on. right over here. Now the worship team. How you doing, buddy? Good to see you. Wow. Yeah. All right. I think we got one more, Pastor Mike. I think there was one more, maybe. Coming. All right. I'm only asking you to sing for 5 minutes, so. No? Okay. All right. Go with what we have. How are you?
I'm good, Pastor Chris.
Good. Good to see you. Good to see you guys. So I just wanted to ask a question. Mm-hmm. What does this day mean for you? And it may immediately give a reflection of where you've been, right? And that's okay, because testimonies are wonderful. But just in a few minutes, just to share comfortably, you know, what this moment means to you, other than, you know, you're getting wet, right? You do know that, right? Okay, good. All right.
Hi, everyone. My name is Justin. I've been coming to this church for about, I want to say, 4 years. Mm. Trying to make it every day, every Sunday. I think I missed maybe four Sundays. Before that, I stopped going to church. I was a holiday churcher. I'm really trying to just, you know, dive into Jesus, give him everything that I have. Just follow him the best I can. Today means for me a new life in Christ. And just to continue that from the best of my ability to be a better man for my family, for myself, and for Jesus.
Thank you. That's beautiful. Nice. Young man, why don't you give us your name?
Aiden, and Aiden. I've been following Jesus for my whole life. And I'm blessed for my family, and I hope my uncle's safe, who passed away. I hope he's up in heaven, and we can all see him up in the sky.
That's good, good. All right, Aiden, good job, my friend. John?
Hi, my name is John, and I've been a Christian my whole life, and I watched my brother get baptized 40 years ago when he and I were both in our 20s, and I thought, you know, someday I'm going to do that. And there was a pastor here a week or two ago talking about how close we follow Jesus. Sometimes we're right behind him, and sometimes we're across the room. Mm-hmm. And boy, I've done that my whole life, and I thought, wow, that pastor's talking about me, you know. So soon after that, the opportunity came to be baptized, and I thought, now's the time. So here I am.
Beautiful, John. Thank you. Awesome. Well, thank you, guys. Why don't we pray over them, what we're about to do? Heavenly Father, thank you for our brothers in Christ, as they stand before you right now, and through your Holy Spirit, continue to overwhelm them today with your love as they go down and come up, knowing that they are fully identified with you, Jesus. Lord, even in the days after this, Lord, continue through your Holy Spirit to guide their steps, knowing that you love them so very much and knowing that they can be a part of something greater that's going on. Lord, we're so appreciative that you allow us to be identified to you. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, so you're just going to head over, nice lady in the pink shirt there, and we'll start going. Guys, thanks for coming out. Can we stand? We're going to end in some worship on this. Thank you.